Hey, this is Interviews with Kimmy Rose Zapp, and no, I'm not Kimmy. I'm Luana Myers, and I'm filling in for Kim today. She is actually on her way back from Canada. Now, I don't know if anybody's been listening to the news, and I'm sure most people have, all the good stuff that happened at the Detroit airport. Well, Kim has to cross the border at Detroit to go into Canada to visit her relatives. So on the way back today, she actually got stuck at the border for probably a good hour and a half, which that's not too bad. I mean, we've been stuck there probably for an hour before, so a little more security than normal. But anyway, I'm going to be covering the show for her. Now, she might be back in time to pop in at the end, so everybody stay tuned for that. But I got to tell you, we have a fantastic guest today, and this is one of the reasons that I'm actually covering the show for Kim, because we have Dr. Meg Blackburn-Lucy with us today, known as Dr. Meg. She is an internationally best-selling author of several books, including her most recent, Parenting of the Children of Now. And she is someone that's been on Good Morning America, 2020, and all kinds of various publications. So at this time, I just want to welcome Dr. Meg to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Hi to everybody that's listening.
Oh, I'm so excited to have you on here because, you know, when I was looking at your website and stuff, too, the first thing that always, that catches me was the question you had right there by your picture, is your child a crystalline child? And I'm thinking, I don't have any children myself, but I always have these questions about my nieces because they always seem so, they just know things. And I think they're 4 and 6, and how do they just know what they know? I mean, unless
they know because people like us, you know, started this fast forward evolution of humanity that we're seeing in the kids now by just being who we are and exploring the possibilities of our awareness and our consciousness and that kind of thing. You know, we're kind of the bridge generation, and now what's happened is we have this wonderful, wondrous new generation of children coming in who have any variety of gifts. And I put the list on my website because I had so many emails asking me those same questions. And it's a pretty thorough list. And you know, I'm really not about labeling kids. I'm more about creating awareness for them. But there really are different trends and types of children that, you know, that we run across. Like your nieces and nephews, that they're obviously in the crystalline range. And, you know, the crystalline kids tend to remember who they are, where they came from, even sometimes their past lives. They're very intuitive. They feel with their whole bodies, not just with their 5 senses. And so they're constantly aware of everything that's going on around them, no matter how subtle it is.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, this causes problems in school. People want to call them ADD, and, you know, hyperactive and attention deficit and, you know, give them drugs. And the truth is that's not what they need. What they need is a new paradigm for school and society.
Right. Well, you know, I got to ask, and then we'll get to the book and, you know, we'll take some calls as they come in, but I got to ask about the 4-year-old in particular, Abby, because she says to me sometimes, now, I have a brother who died in a farming accident 11, 12 years ago now, and she has said to me, I miss Uncle Doug. And it just, to me, then I'm listening to all of the things, and I'm learning so much in the last few years of my life, and I think, my Lord, maybe she actually, when my brother has crossed over, and she wasn't here yet because she's only 4 and he died 12 years ago, our soul groups do reincarnate, and that she was with him on that side, and now she's here and misses him. And I literally take it as that.
Yeah, I'll give you a different perception on that. Ask her when she remembers being with him, because it could be she knew him on this side.
Oh, that's possible, too.
That's what I'm picking up.
That she was somebody reincarnated herself, and now here again.
Yeah, so kind of ask her questions without leading her and see what she tells you.
That would be interesting. Yeah, very interesting. Yeah, fascinating stuff. But anyway,
they're reincarnating much faster than we used to. A lot of the kids that I've met have had lives in World War II or even more recently and come right back in because they have, you know, they weren't finished.
Wow, well, that's really interesting because I have somebody else that's going through situation, who feels that her grandson is actually her mother. And she goes,
could be.
You know,
it could very
could
well be.
Mm-hmm.
If he was born after she left the planet, you know.
Yeah.
Could very well. I have a grandson that I swear is my dad reincarnated.
Oh, isn't that
his, even his mannerisms are just like him. And so I'm just kind of watching and waiting to see if anything comes up, you know, that I can validate it. But he lives a ways off, away, so it's hard to keep, you know, I might miss that moment.
That was so cool, though. That
yeah,
so cool.
Kind of strange, but cool.
it, you know, all of this stuff, it's like, you know, after a while you develop such an open mind and open approach to things that you just really are accepting of, hey, it could be. It
yeah,
really
to me, weird is wonderful.
Exactly. There you go. Well, I know. I was going to say that'll lead into the book. No. The book's not weird. No. This is a fascinating. This book, I think, is just really fascinating. And it's Parenting the Children of Now. And what's so interesting about it is that it's a book about. It's a parenting book, but it's really about parents and not necessarily about the kids. And all
exactly.
Because we focus sometimes on the kids so much, I think it's just really great that you decided to write the book about the parents and our influence then on the children, if I'm understanding correctly everything that I'm, you know, going through.
Yeah,
and,
you know.
Tell me why you decided, you know, what led you to that point of view of the book.
I have worked with so many families over the years, and time and time and time again, people bring their children to me, and they want me to fix their children. And what I end up realizing is there's nothing wrong with the children. It's the way the parents are dealing with them or, you know, the parents' issues or fears or whatever that are really driving how they're raising their child. And over the years, I've realized that there are a lot of problems that arise from those things. So, you know, I was sitting, I hate to say this, but I was sitting there watching one of the morning shows one morning, and they talked about a book about raising your children that was like a diet plan, and I just lost it. I said, oh, my God, you know, there are so many gimmicks to selling books about raising your children, and no offense to the author of that book. I'm sure it's a good book, but it gave me a real awareness that people really need information, and they're not necessarily getting what they need. So my whole approach is to, you know, back up the adults, give the adults good life skills that they can use so that they can then turn around and give those to their children. Because that's all that's really lacking. You know, kids don't come with instructions. But what we don't realize is that our approach to raising them is based on everything that we know and believe about ourselves and the world. Mm-hmm. And if those belief systems are skewed in any way, if they're not true somehow, then we start teaching our kids from our dysfunction rather than our you know, our positive functionality.
Well, that makes so much sense.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I really wish I could have just put this book out there for everybody.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
And I may yet, but it's all about having good life skills and, you know, recognizing our patterns and our fears and why we do the things we do that so that we don't share them with our kids.
And I got to ask you when you talk about patterns, too, because the one thing I was curious about, for example, if there's some issue in someone's life and they have children, and because of that issue, that influences the way they raise their children. Now, mm-hmm. if there's healing that doesn't take place, then those energies are passed on to their child. So now this passes on to the grandchildren. And before you know it, you have a cascading of some type of emotional baggage almost from one generation to the next, to the next, to the next.
Yeah.
Can we agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I call familial patterning.
Okay.
And we, you know, when we're children, we learn everything, not that's just directly told to us. That's what a lot of people don't realize, is that we literally learn from every example around us. And we don't know if it's right or wrong or healthy or not. We only know what our parents are showing us or other people around us are showing us. And so we take that on and then we propagate it. And you know, particularly in our generation, you know, we were told do better, try harder, be more, get better grades, find your purpose in life and do that, you know. And nobody ever said, here's what it looks like when you get there. So what we ended up doing was going on this lifelong quest that had no destination and ended up being, you know, often very needy and mixed up adults who are still trying to heal themselves and figure out why they don't feel perfect and all of that, which in truth, all it is that we were misguided. We were not given the proper instructions. And so we began to believe that we were less than or, you know, or not enough or not good enough or not deserving because we didn't accomplish whatever that was. And so we live by other people's rules. And, you know, and that's what we tend to give to our kids. I see it time and time again. So those familial patterns are really, really important because they do get inherited and they do get propagated from one generation to the next. And when we do not allow ourselves to be aware of them because we're unbending and unyielding in our perceptions, then we are without a doubt giving them to our kids. But if we can step back and say, you know, when I was a kid, I wasn't very comfortable because, you know, and we start to look at that, then we realize that, wait a minute, we just didn't know what we wanted because we were trying to be what everybody else wanted. You know, that's generally what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the beliefs that go with that, you know, depending on the background. So I just, those patterns can be very destructive as they get propagated because, you know, we don't even remember where they came from. We just know that's normal for our family.
In your experience, then, is there, I don't want to say, you know, geez, what's the biggest fear that people have or, you know, what is the common threat that you're finding in so many families or so many, you know, relationships with people? Because, you know, it's interesting that you say that, you know, we're not honest with ourselves. And that we're living according to someone else's expectations. And that's such a broad, that is so broad. And are you meaning our roles as men and women, our careers? You're speaking in everything, I would almost assume.
All of it, yeah.
Yes. And some of it will affect us more or less than other things. I know, for example, like when I hit 25 and I wasn't married, my dad's like, oh, you're an old maid, and, you know, I mean, it's like, hey, Dad, I'm in my 40s now, and he's long given up on me. But, you know, and it was sweet, because in a way, I grew up on a farm, and my dad, at one point, he was trying to hook me up with one of my high school friends, and I'm like, oh, my Lord, my father is trying to hook me up. And you know what he said to me? He goes, well, Greg's grandpa has a nice farm, and you'll have a nice life. And I thought, oh, dear Lord.
Uh-huh.
But now if somebody else would have maybe accepted that, and I just looked at that and went, no, not for me. But
well, you know, some of the biggest fears that I see the most often are fear of not fitting in. That's number one, I would say.
Okay.
Not belonging, however that looks. You know, with our family, with our friends, anything. Because we have blindly followed or been conditioned to follow, you know, certain sets of values that weren't even ours to start with, we began to get a different perception of ourselves, like, well, I just don't fit in. I don't believe any of this, but I have to do it anyway, you know. And so the fear of not belonging is probably the number one I encounter. Abandonment and rejection and judgment all come in a real close second. You know, these are the kind of things that we defend ourselves around. Fear of not being loved, that's another one. You know, there's a list of them, but when we can become aware that we have those fears, and then further, once we have the awareness, realize that that's how we've gotten ourselves, you know, into such hot water over time and again. We begin to do things differently, and we are no longer vulnerable because we've got it. We're aware of that. Nobody can push that button and hurt us with it anymore.
Right. That makes so much sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually time for a break right now. So what we're going to do, we'll hold the conversation where we're at, and we'll be back in just a moment. And if you have any questions or any calls, I'll give you the number when we come back from the break. And you're listening to Interviews with Kimmy Rose Zaff, and we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Kimberly Rose, and I want to share with you a testimony that comes from a listener in New Jersey. Dear Kimmy, for 8 years, I've been trying to get pregnant. I called in to talk to you one day, and you offered me advice on working with hypnosis. I went to your website, and I ordered your fertility CD. And what I wanted to share with you is I'm pregnant. We just had our first ultrasound. A beautiful baby is forming inside of me, and I believe that it was the power of my mind that allowed that. Thank you so much for sharing with me that you don't need pills. You don't need things outside of you. Everything that you could ever need is right within you. That comes from Margaret. And Margaret, thank you for writing in. And anytime you would like to write in with testimony, please go to KimmyRose.com and share information. If you're interested in transforming your life with hypnosis, whether it be fertility, weight loss, stop smoking, we even work with golf improvement, sports improvement, connecting with your higher self, relationships. Go to KimmyRose.com. Go to the store section. Also go to the class section and check out what we have to offer. We have a variety of CDs, MP3 downloads, and also classes. And if you'd like us to come to your area, give us a call. 734-854-1514. Thanks so much for listening to Kimberly Rose on Interviews. Peace.
Hey, welcome back to Interviews with Kimberly Rose. And actually, this is Luanna Myers. I'm filling in for Kim if you missed a little bit earlier. Kim's on her way back from Canada, visiting family for the holidays, and got a little waylaid there at the check-in points crossing the border from Canada and back into the U.S. So it's been a little exciting up in our area. We're in the Detroit area, so with all the stuff happening at the airport, we can certainly understand the little bit of a delay. But anyway, getting back with Dr. Meg's on the line, and we also have a caller, so I want to go ahead and take that call and see what we've got on the line here. Hello, caller.
Hi,
this is Luanna. Who's this?
Oh, I was calling for Kimmy. Is Kimmy on? Or?
Yeah, well, Kimmy is actually in Canada. Well, she's not in Canada anymore, but she's back in the U.S. now. But she's actually a little bit late getting on to the show. So I'm filling in. We've got our guest, Dr. Meg, on the line. And we'll be glad to take your call and go from there.
Okay.
Yeah, we're talking to Dr. Meg right now.
Well, I'm Pamela. My name is Pamela.
Okay.
And I don't know what kind of questions you're answering.
Well, we've been talking to Dr. Meg about her book, but, you know, we're both intuitive to some degree or another.
Oh, well, I can call back.
Oh, all right. That's fine, too. I mean, we can help you.
Why don't I call back?
Okay, that's fine. Not a problem. Hey, Dr. Meg, you're still here?
I'm here.
Okay, great. Well, hey, we'll get back into it. But you know what? Now, that's interesting in and of itself right there because I think your book even would relate to what she was going to call about. And I just have that feeling. I don't know if you do, but I do.
I think she wanted to talk to Kimmy Rose, and that's just fine.
And that could be, too. But I think everything that we have, you know, the questions that come up in our lives are really the things that you're talking about in this book. Because
it's basically a good set of life skills in general. Mm-hmm. And I had originally written that book for all adults, and then we decided to put it to the parenting. I decided to revamp it towards parenting because I get so many questions and emails about the kids and what they're doing and what parents should do about it, and they're freaked out that their kids know this and know that, and you know that they're so perceptive and they don't know what to do about it. And I keep telling them that their children aren't broken. So I wanted to give them a good set of skills to give them, for people to have a kind of a more relaxed perception of themselves.
Right.
Because we get so uptight trying to fit all of these paradigms and social musts, and it's just crazy.
Well, you know, and even my dad will say stuff. Now, my dad's like 77 years old, and he'll actually make comments like, you know, wow, you know, I'm so glad I'm my age, and, you know, I'm getting out of here sometime soon because I can't deal with all the things that are going on now. Because his world is so, I don't want to say in a box, but compartmentalized. You know, this is what it is, and that's the way it's always been, and this is what it is, and that's how that is. And, you know, and when you start to change those things, and it's hard for some people to adjust to that. And the older they are, I think that is harder for them to just be more open, more aware. You know, I've had some really lengthy discussions with my dad, and actually he's a lot more open than he gives himself credit for. But at the same time, I know what he's saying because he is of an older generation, and those opinions and those values are so set in stone. It's just hard.
And there were dire consequences if you didn't follow the rules back in those generations, you know, those earlier generations. And you know, the bottom line of all of that is that nobody likes change. And we get into this box that we create for ourselves of what's familiar and into this, you know, quote, comfort zone. And, you know, what I tell people is that we become comfortable in our discomfort. We accept it because we know the rules. You know, we accept that discomfort, that unhappiness, whatever it is, because we have an idea how it works. We know we're safe within those parameters, and we don't know if we step out of those parameters what could happen, you know. So we tend to just hold ourselves close, and ultimately, we get to the point where we don't know anything different, and we forget that there are even possibilities that, you know, there's so much more out there. If we would just relax a little bit and just realize that we're already perfect and there's nothing to heal, that, you know, we don't have to spend our lives seeking to heal ourselves. We already are that. We already are perfect. It's just our perception that's off.
Oh, that's so good. I mean, that's really, I mean, that's just so, you know, it's
true.
So good, 'cause it is true. Because we are what we are, and we are perfect as we are right now.
And the only reason we think we're not is because everyone taught us that, you know, that we had to do something to be that. And it doesn't really work that way. That's only, you know, that's a very narrow perception. We are so much more than we know.
Right.
And how can we ever find out if we never reach out of that safety zone?
That's so interesting. And the one thing I got to ask you, because Kim would tell you this herself, you know, she was a child of sexual abuse. And is those wounds, they are there, and they are deep at times. And I know you can do a lot of work to heal and release and things like that, but she would be a different person today if it wasn't for that. So in so many ways, you know, thank goodness, because it's helped her be who she is today. But at the same time, don't you find that those kinds of things that do happen to people, I don't want to say they scar them for it, but it's an influencing factor. And maybe the way
we have influences of all kinds.
Decision-making processes, you know, the neediness that might be there. There's just so many different things. And, you know, I was raped when I was 29. And she's like, well, we're all the same. But I think, no, it's different. You were a child. You know what I'm saying? It's just different as a child.
Yeah, and here's the deal. We have those experiences, and they do affect and sometimes alter the path of our life. Hopefully in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, we had the experience, past tense. What are we doing with it? Or are we hauling it around like old baggage? You know, and I don't want to sound unsympathetic, because I have great empathy and sympathy for those kinds of situations. But what I find is that people get so identified with the experience that they don't remember who they are beyond that.
Right.
So my point is, okay, it happened, and that really sucks, but what are you going to do with what you got out of it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are you going to take from that and go on with your life? Because, you know, the people who were involved 9 times out of 10 aren't even sitting around thinking about it. They've gone on with their life, and they're doing other things while there you sit. You know what I'm saying? So my point is, it's a real easy pattern to fall into, to be an eternal victim and not get empowered in different ways from the same kind of circumstances. You know, you can empower yourself from situations that were negative in nature when they happened. By what you do was what you gain as a result of that. And we always get something out of every situation. Even though at the time it seems horrendous. You know, like you said, thank God, in a way, look what Kimmy Rose did with her life. You know, I know that you took turns in your life because of that. And, you know, so it and we've all done that in different ways with different challenges that we've met. And it just depends what we take out of it. And if we're able to let go of it so that it's not constantly haunting us and being our identity.
Well, it's funny you say that because I actually gave a speech one time, and in the process of doing that, I told people this, and I'm like, oh, my God, I had no intentions of bringing this up. But sometimes spirit moves you in a way that, okay, it is what it is. And,
sure.
But the relevant part was, and when I was there, and I felt there was just so much energy there. But I said, you know, I also fell down when I was a kid, and I fell off my bike, and I cut my knee. And, you know, this happened to me, and that happened to me. And I said, this is just one more thing. And I lost my brother in a farming accident, and that's one more thing. But the point is, sometimes one event or the other event is more horrific, and it lasts longer in our system. You know, it hurts longer. But
sure.
It's still in the end. It's something that's past now, and you can let it go, and you can heal from it, and look back at it, and say, what changed me in that moment? What was I to learn in that moment? Because, and again, this is me and my spiritual journey, is that the one thing that I in reading everything that I was looking at here, it's amazing that it's an expectation. We have expectations, and those expectations set us up right then and there for failure, or anger, or depression, or everything. Because if we just let life flow. You know, I'm a good person. I shouldn't expect to be attacked, right? No. Don't have that expectation in the first place. Because life is what it is. It can happen to anybody. And therefore, it's not a question of, it shouldn't happen to me. I shouldn't expect it to happen to me. The point becomes, if it does, how do I respond to it? And that's what I've learned in the last couple of years. The word expectation is huge with me. Because once
what happens when we expect something is this. We get exactly what we expect or less, and we close off the infinite possibilities that would have been available to us had we not expected anything.
Oh, yeah, so true. Well,
now, what I'm saying is when we set expectations, it becomes a pass or fail situation. We either get it or we don't, okay? But if we can go moment to moment and just be comfortable in our skin and be in the now, then we are open to all of the possibilities that may come forward around that event just because we were available, you know, because we made room for it to happen. And you know what my guys, always say is that nothing ever happens outside of now. That which was has been. And that which has not yet been is either speculated or imagined. So what I'm saying is that only ever is now. And we can set ourselves up for any number of events, and, you know, the more we're afraid of something, the more likely we are to have that experience.
Right. We're
because
draw
we're calling it in.
Sure. We're drawing it into ourselves so that we can actually grow and learn from it.
Yeah,
it's amazing how fear works like that, doesn't it? It's so true.
So it's about being now and, you know, letting go of it. All of that fear stuff that's out in front of us is nothing more than what's behind us haunting us.
Yeah.
And so if we deal with our stuff, which I really hope is what this book teaches people to do, then what happens is what's out front of us is a wide open set of infinite possibilities from which anything can create itself. You know, and it's how we move into that that determines how it's created.
That's perfect. On that note, it's time for another break. But what we're going to do, I just want to let everybody know that we're talking to Dr. Meg, and we're talking about her book, Parenting the Children of Now. If you'd like to get in, please give us a call at 888-815-9756. Or we've got a couple other numbers, too, 530-327-7656. 02 is one of the other lines. But we'll be right back after this break. More with Dr. Meg in a moment.
Do you want to lose weight? Stop smoking? Connect with your higher self. Are you trying to get pregnant? If you're interested in any of these things, go to KimmyRose.com and check out our wide variety of hypnosis CDs. We've got testimonials on the website. Change your life, change your mind with our hypnosis CDs. That's at KimmyRose.com. Hi, this is Kimberly Rose. Listen weekly to my show, Interviews. We're now syndicated, so you can hear us all over the world on different stations. Go to KimmyRose.com to find out more information on how to tune in weekly. Also, if you're wanting to connect, you want to get advice, whether it be from a life coach or an intuitive, we have the best people. They are handpicked from all over the world. Go to KimmyRose.com and click on Kimmy and Friends. Right there, you'll be able to get a free reading and connect with some of the greatest readers around the world. You can also call 734-854-1514 to connect with these amazing people. You can also connect with me by calling that number. Again, that's KimmyRose.com. Take time to manifest change in your life. Remember, it's all about what's within you.
Hi, welcome back to Interviews with Kimberly Rose. This is Luana Myers. Actually, I'm filling in for Kim today. And we've been talking to Dr. Meg, the author of Parenting the Children of Now. And it's just fascinating stuff because, you know, what we really are learning is that the children, well, we're all perfect. We are all whole. And the thing is that the way we perceive things and then trying to project those on our children, when actually our children are fine, and maybe they're teaching us things. And I'm sure that Dr. May can tell us more about that. But the one thing that I wanted to ask, and this was an interesting point that you had in the book too, is that, you know, that we have lost our passion. And the one thing is like, okay, if our children are fine, then how do we approach our lives to learn how to regain our passion and to accept ourselves where we're at in life and heal the things that we're projecting onto our children?
Well, you know, bizarrely enough, what I've come to realize is that a great deal of people tend to look at passion as an accomplishment, as if they have to find it, as if they want to do it, but they don't know what it is. Well, here's the deal. Passion is nothing more than everything that we love. So passion is nothing more than what I call love in action. You know, if we are following our passion, we are doing what we love. We are experiencing that. We are giving ourselves those moments to let our heart expand, you know. And it's really easy to get back into that. And by the way, I did put exercises in each chapter of the book so that the adults could really apply these skills into real life. And then exercises they could do with their kids. But, you know, one of the things to do to find your passion is just start to remember your heart connection. And all you have to do that is think of something that you love, really love, and feel that feeling in your chest. That is the same as passion, you know, and only passion is what we do with that feeling when we have it. So, you know, it's really about doing what we love. We're so desensitized. You know, we are so very desensitized by the media, by ourselves, by our peers, by society. You know, we get so much in real time, so much information, so much input. We don't half the time even know who we are and where we're going because there's too many things coming at us. And that's part of why we don't find our passion very easily. So just, you know, just having that moment to think of one thing that you love and feel that heart connection, you know, and do it again. And, you know, we all have a lot of things that bring that heart-centered feeling to ourselves. And once we get reconnected with that more regularly, it's a lot easier to tap into it on a daily basis.
You know, it's funny that the point you're making, it just comes back to all these examples in my in my life, and especially with those two little nieces I have, because I do babysit for them on occasion, and it's just, it's wonderful in a way, because I become more childlike when I'm with them. We play, we color, we read stories, we make up stories, we do things. I like projects. I don't like just setting them in front of the TV, and I mean, when I spend time with them, I want it to be quality time. Maybe it's just because I want quality time with them. But it's just, it's so interesting. And when you say passion, it's like, that was just such a wonderful definition, love in action. Because it can be so simple, as doing, my sister, for example, we're a bunch of shutterbugs. We love to take photos. But in those moments of doing that kind of stuff even, putting new photo albums together, it's a gift for somebody else that you're making. You're putting part of your love and your energy into something so simple. That is a passion that I have, that she has. And I think you're so right when you say that we're always looking for something that's bigger. Because when somebody says, well, what's your purpose in life? You go, wow, now this has got to be really big, right? No. It doesn't.
What I'd like to know is who this invisible monster is who is supposedly keeping score of all of this.
And it takes our breath away, though. Because I, you know, and when I first started really getting into the metaphysical stuff, and, you know, you go to these seminars and people start asking all these questions, and you're like, oh, my God, I don't belong here because I don't have answers and clues. And the pressure was overwhelming that you have to come up with these correct answers.
No, you don't.
And you know what? And that's what I learned, is that there is no correct answer in all of that. But you know what? When you first encounter this kind of thinking, it scares you. It really does.
Mm-hmm.
Because for the first time, it's very intimidating. I know I met Kim, and she said, you know, if I had a puzzle and, you know, I was walking along and I had it in the box and I unfortunately tripped or something and it fell and it went all over the floor. And she says, now, how would you pick that up? How would you put those pieces back into the box? And I'm like, I don't know the right answer. And then she called me the next day and she said, you don't realize, she said, it's not about that there's a perfect way to put those things in the box. Whatever way you choose to pick those pieces up and put them back in the box is the right way. And that really blew my mind. Because, again, I was panicking over, well, what's the right answer? We go through school and we're taught there's a right answer to this. And everything else is incorrect. When the reality is more things are your way, whatever way that is, there is no one way to do things. But yet we teach ourselves that there is. And it just sets you up for a lot of...
Well, actually, no, we're conditioned to believe that by people
who
teach us.
Yes.
You know, and at school, religion, home, everything. And over the years, that's the way it's kind of refined itself. And, I mean, for instance, our school curriculum is over 100 years old. And we're still teaching children by rote in a world that's going so fast by the time you finish saying it the first time, it's old news. You know, and we're still trying to do things by, you know, methodologies that are no longer even applicable in this society. That includes about us and how we go about things. You know, those rigid rules cannot apply and still make healthy people. You know, it just doesn't work like that.
Well, you know, and the other point that you have, too, is that we need to become more authentic with our kids. So, you know, I grew up in the 60s. I was born in 61. So, you know, you always hear the people going, oh, my God, you know, I smoked pot when I was a kid, and, you know, now I'm going to tell my kids what I did. Now, and, you know, and you think, okay, I'm going to be more authentic with them. I'm going to be a real person with them. And I think what I've found maybe, too, is sometimes parents become friends of their children more than the parents of their children. But that was just the first thought that popped in my mind, because I know there are people that have done that I want to be more authentic. I'm going to be real with my kids, and I'm going to tell them all the things I did that and that's okay. I'm not judging that. I don't mean it by that. But, you know, I think the word authentic, it was just funny that popped in my head, and why, you know, who knows. But, you know, my parents never would have told me the skeletons in their closet. And, you know, does that make us more authentic when we can be that way with our children?
I'm not sure that's being authentic or propagating the rebel.
Well, there you go, too, because then you go, hey, I did it, and I'm fine,
What I mean when I talk about being authentic is first be authentic with ourselves. and learn how to tell ourselves the truth. You know, we lie to ourselves constantly about how we're doing in a situation, who loves us, and whether it's the real thing or not, or how we're doing at work, or as parents, or whatever. We're constantly making excuses for everybody and everything in the world, including ourselves, and not being honest. And so we're constantly, you know, getting signals from our bodies. We get tense, you know, we have all of these different things that happen that are warning signals to us that we're out of integrity with ourselves. And because we haven't learned how to tell ourselves the truth, we teach our children how to lie to themselves because we don't tell them the truth about stupid little things that they really want to know about or important life things that we, you know, we don't answer because we're not comfortable with it. And, you know, there are a myriad of examples in that, but the bottom line is the more authentic we can be inside with ourselves, the more authentic we can be then with our children and everyone around us.
What do you believe leads us to that place where we can't be authentic with ourselves? Because I know the Kim called part of this mirroring, that we do mirror behaviors and things to each other that make us uncomfortable sometimes with ourselves. But what is it?
Yeah, well, listen, from
on?
The time we hit air, we're being told why we're not perfect and what we need to do to get that way.
Yeah.
You know,
which makes
all that stuff
own,
we talked
yeah.
about earlier about what we have to achieve and find our life purpose and blah, blah, blah. And people gave us rules and we had to live by those rules and we weren't allowed to question them or we got in trouble. You know,
mm-hmm.
all of that taught us to defend ourselves by telling people what they wanted to hear. We were inadvertently taught to lie to ourselves and everyone around us because we were following the rules, and that's what the rules dictated.
Wow.
Even if we didn't agree.
Yeah, that's.
And then it just became a habit.
And then before you know it, hey, you're 40. And you go, what happened?
Exactly.
You know, what happened? My kids are growing up, things seem chaotic, or whatever, you know, whatever it is, but I can't believe that it's already time for another break. But if you want to get in on this conversation with Dr. Meg, the number to dial is 888-815-9756. And if you want to get a hold of Kimmy, because I know everybody's, you know, hey, it's Luana. Who? Yeah. But Kimmy is here. She's in the state somewhere, hopefully heading home. But you can always call Kimmy for an appointment and get your private readings, too. But we're back on the air next week. But you can always reach her at her office. It's 734-854-1514. Hold on. We'll be right back after the break. Thanks.
Join me on Saturday, April 10th and Sunday, April 11th of 2010 for the Toledo Body, Mind, and Spirit Festival. It'll be free admission, free parking, lectures, and classes both days. We'll have exhibitors from all over the United States. You can go to ToledoBodyMindSpiritFestival.com for more information. If you want to be an exhibitor, a speaker, fill out the application there. That's the Toledo Body, Mind, and Spirit Festival on April 10th. Hi, I'm Kimberly Rose with Interviews. If you'd like to get a hold of me for a reading or check out my online classes, go to my website at KimmyRose.com. You can also call me at my store at 734-854-1514. While you're at the website, check out some of the great things that we have for sale. That's KimmyRose.com. I'm Kimberly Rose with Interviews. Hi, this is Kimberly Rose from Interviews. If you want to change your life and you want to develop your intuition, check out my new book, Wake Up Your Intuition. You'll be able to connect with mediumship. You'll even learn a little bit about numerology. It's all about what's within you. Remember, anyone can connect simply by practicing. Check out Wake Up Your Intuition by going to KimmyRose.com.
Hi, welcome back to Interviews with Kimberly Rose Zaff. This is Luana Myers, and I'm filling in for Kim today. And we've got our guest, Dr. Meg, with us. And before the break, we were talking about all kinds of things, but really being authentic. And what that really means, and first being, we can't be authentic with others until we're really authentic with ourselves. And it all comes down to just breaking a lot of bad habits. And I wanted to follow up on that concept of, you know, before you know it, we've been conditioned, and before we know it, we lie to ourselves, and those lies become such habits that we really can't be authentic with ourselves. So how do we really break that pattern for ourselves? I mean,
the bottom line is, what the heck are we afraid of that made us do that? You know, what are the fears that are acting, I call it running us in the background? What are we carrying around that we're so worried about? You know, what I did years ago, and the full description is in the book, but an exercise that I did that I found I had to be brutally honest with myself, but it was really helpful, was I took a piece of paper and I thought back on every situation in my life that made my guts lurch. You know, that feeling in your chest that's like, oh God, I didn't want to think about that, it hurts, you know. And instead of writing so-and-so did this to me, what I did was I left the blame out, and I said something to the effect of, this happened, you know. And then I would look at it and I'd think, what was I so afraid of in that situation that I either stayed in it or pushed it or whatever the deal was, you know. And I put, you know, I put a word or two over in the margin that described my fear. And I went down through those. There weren't a lot of them, but there were several. And what I realized in the end when I looked over in the margin was that the same fears were repeating over and over again, and I was getting into similar situations, different people, different times, trying to resolve those fears and staying in the same patterns of them by pushing those situations, you know. And it was a really, really good wake-up call to realize that I was doing the same thing over and over again, because my personal stuff was, I didn't want to be abandoned or rejected. You know, so I stayed in relationships that were way too painful, you know, or situations that were over the top, and I did way more than I should have because I didn't want to be left in the cold. And nevertheless, I ended up there anyway because the situation wasn't true, it didn't fit, and couldn't possibly work out because, it wasn't what I really wanted. So, getting familiar with those base inherent fears is your best tool towards all the rest of the, you know, the perceptions.
Yeah, so if we can just face our fears, mm-hmm. and really say, what's the big deal? I mean, really, that's what it comes down to.
Well, once we own them, nobody else can hurt us there.
Right, because if you look in the mirror and you can face yourself and say, hey, you know what? I did some stupid things when I was young, and we do stupid things all the time, but it is. It's really just facing those things and being honest with yourself and then saying, okay, it happened. That's the end.
Yeah, and it's harder. People make it harder than you would believe, you know?
Well,
because we just don't even realize we're doing it. And then once we start to, you know, look past our defense system, it's quite surprising how simple it all is. And, gee, what a little thing that was that we were so defended about.
Well, you know, and for me, I was 29 when I was raped, and that was a big thing that was certainly out of the blue. I never had that on my radar, that was something that was going to happen to me. And I don't mean to just talk about myself, but I know that in keeping it inside of me, that felt worse than letting it out. And I did. Mm-hmm. I told my friends what happened to me. I told other people what happened to me. And I, you know, sometimes then you don't know where to draw the line because you're just kind of confused by all of that. But the fear, I wasn't afraid of holding it in. It just felt so yucky. I had to let it out.
Yeah.
And then I realized, and I blame myself because I was drinking that night. I had too much to drink. So there's a lot of guilt, and there's a lot of, and maybe I'm still dealing with some of that too. Who knows? But I look at that and I think, but did I intend that for me to happen? Did I intend to drink too much that night? And what happened that night? And how do you blame yourself? I mean,
you were violated.
You know what? Thank you, because you know what? That's exactly what did happen. I didn't intend to do a lot of things that night. But still, even if I did, that still didn't give anybody the right to do what they did to me. And that's where the clarity really came into being that, okay, I made some mistakes that led up to the event itself. But I forgive myself for those. And I didn't act with, you know, aggression or violence or, you know, something that was you know, not good for another human being. I didn't do that. Somebody did that to me. And I don't want to be a victim in all of this. I call myself the conqueror because in this life situation, it actually gave me a voice. I was a pretty quiet, meek person, and I was getting my voice anyway. But lo and behold, watch out, because when this happened to me, it did something to me on another. So then again, I look at this and I say, well, okay, maybe this was a blessing because it's something that changed me. It shifted me into who I am today. It made me more outspoken, and it put me in a place of certainly understanding and having compassion for other people. And when somebody talks about, you know, being a victim, and I can relate to that, and at the same time, and I can, you know, it's going to be okay, and you're not a victim. Don't carry the energy of this.
Right.
Let it go and conquer it, and you be in charge of your life. And I'll tell you one thing. Nothing ever happened to this. You know, never went to court, nothing ever happened to this. And the prosecutor looked at me, and she said, you know, we're not pursuing this case. But she said, regardless of that, whether he goes to jail or not, you have to live your life. Well, I wanted to strangle her. I mean, literally, I jumped up out of my chair and I was like, oh, what do I have to do? You know, I wanted to get even, you know, all this stuff. But that was the best thing she could have ever told me. And I have thought about it often because I do need to live my life because he's living his. And I think that's
Well, that was my point earlier, yeah.
Exactly.
And,
you said that, it's like, wow.
And all there ever is now. So, you know, what are you doing with it? And you know, I often say to people, who are you really and what is it you're trying to create of yourself? Be that.
Right.
Stop trying to do it. Just be it, you know, because we can work at it forever and we can believe a lot of things, but until we actually act on it, we're not living it.
Well, and the other point that this brings up, too, is that we're not just one or two things. We're not just a mom. We're not just a dad. We're not just our careers. We are a blending of many things, many experiences. And what we really are here to do is to love and help teach other people from the experiences that we've been through ourselves. And if we can do those little things, then we're ahead of the game. And maybe, you know, we don't have our name up in lights or whatever the case might be, and we're not president of the United States, but guess what? We're making a contribution. And that's the point.
Well, every moment that we exist, you know, is our true purpose, not something we accomplish down the road, but... You know, we don't realize how much effect we have in every given moment. You know, when we interact with a place or a person or people, all of that energy is in exchange, and nobody is the same as when they got there. And we never know how we've affected other people or other places, and we may never know, but it can be so significant. It can change one life, which can then change a multitude of lives. I've seen it happen.
Yeah, so. I call that the ripple effect.
Exactly.
It is. It's a ripple effect because I do. I can look back in my life even and see the teachers I had in high school and how they helped shape me and how I went off to college and it changed me there and those people changed me. It is. It's a ripple effect. It's beautiful. It is actually, it's poetry in motion.
We don't always get to see how it happens or what happens next, but we just have to know that if we're intentional with this now, that whatever ripples out will be just fine and be a real positive thing to wherever it goes.
Well, I have to tell you, this has been just a fascinating time with you. I so appreciate you taking the time off during this, you know, holiday season and everything.
My pleasure.
Just to be with us on the air. And, again, if please give your information as to how people can contact you, where they can get your book. All
sure.
That good stuff.
Thank you. My website is www.spiritlight.com. That's SPIRITLITE.com. And it's a pretty big site. I've got a lot of, you know, positive, helpful things on there. And also my schedule's on there if you want to know where I'm going to be or what journey I'm doing next. I take people on journeys to sacred sites all over the world and got an amazing one to Peru coming up in February, one to Egypt next October.
Fantastic.
So,
we'll have you on again. We can talk about that.
Yeah, sure.
Lovely. Well, again, I just want to tell you, thank you from the bottom of our heart. I'm so sorry that you and Kimmy couldn't have connected. I know you've done interviews with Kim before, but...
Yeah, well, give her my love, and we'll catch her next time.
I will do that. But thank you. Thank you so much for being our guest today.
And
just
thanks
so
for having
full
me
of
on.
Information. I hope everybody can, you know, pick up a copy of your book and really, really just make some heartfelt changes on our own level. Don't worry about what other people tell you. Don't worry about, be authentic with yourself. I love when you said that. Just be authentic with yourself.
That's right.
Absolutely. Terrific. Well, this is Luana signing off, and you've been listening to interviews with Kimberly Rose. Join us every Monday, and that's 1 o'clock Pacific, 4 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Thanks. Until next time. Bye-bye.